Titus. Titus chapter 1. And Titus chapter 1. Now don't forget, Winston about to let me forget it. Lord willing, to Friday at 7 o'clock we'll have our conference, and it'll be Brother Jack Lockhart, Jerry Lockhart, and Brother Steve Atwood. We'll do like we did last year. We got three preachers to have three different, two each night. And I don't know exactly who's going to be preaching when or whatever. I just, you know, been thinking about it. But anyway, we'll start at 7 o'clock. And we'll have preachers Friday night. And then Saturday night, we'll have two preachers. Then Sunday morning, we'll have breakfast and at the fellowship. And I'd like for you to bring somebody and everyone come and back it up. Now, we just do this once a year. And it ain't like we keep y'all busy up here three and four times a week and have a fall revival and a spring revival and all these things that other churches have and keep you going. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Now, when did He promise eternal life? Before the world began, right? Well, now, who would He have promised it to? It had to be His Son. But hath in due times manifested His Word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. In due times have manifested His Word through preaching. Well, the Word that He's talking about has to be the truth of verse 1, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And that is what needs to be preached today, is the truth according to godliness, and that truth has to do with people having eternal life. Now, how in the world could I have eternal life? There's got to be a way. If it's manifested in somewhere, I got to be able to hear preaching that's about eternal life. If God's manifesting His Word, and He says He is through preaching, and it's got to be the truth according to God, and it has to do with eternal life, well, where's the preaching at? Well, it's got to be something that's wrote down for men to preach it. Turn back a page in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy. Now, why would I want it? I get people talking about, sought God and prayed, oh God, give me a message. Pray that You give me a message. Well, God's already told you what to preach. God's done told the preachers what to preach. Amen? What did He tell them to preach? Look in verse chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Verse 2, what? What are we to preach? Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. Well, then I know the Word that we're to preach has to do with sound doctrine, right? It's got to be sound doctrine. When He says, preach the Word, and then He says, in verse there, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. The sound doctrine is what's going to rebuke them, and they won't endure it. Then preaching the word is preaching sound doctrine. And I hear people today preach about, oh, everybody wants doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. Folks, that's what the word is. Look with me and turn, look in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. You're right there. We just use that verse. He said in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Sound doctrine. Look back in Titus. In Titus, notice in verse chapter 1, Titus chapter 1, verse 9, holding fast the what? Faithful word, as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Look in chapter 2. In chapter 2 of Titus, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Preach the word. What is the word? Sound doctrine. Well, how in the world do I get sound doctrine? Turn back with me to the book of Acts. Look in Acts. In Acts chapter 2. Notice in verse 41. In Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word was baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the what? The apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Alright, come on down to verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and good, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now that church there was, they were continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine. What did they do? Verse 45. Sold their possessions of good and parted them to all men and as every man had need. Do you reckon that's the apostles' doctrine? Come on now, don't be scared. If you think it is, do this. Let's see if it is. Turn back to Luke. Look in Luke chapter... In Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12. And by the way, before we read Luke chapter 12... Look back in Matthew chapter 7, and we'll just fold down a page there in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, and that would be the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his what? Doctrine. Look over with me to, and notice before we get to Luke, in Mark. In Mark chapter 4. And he taught them, verse 2, and he taught them many things by parable, and said unto them in his doctrine. So, Luke chapter 12, Jesus Christ taught doctrine, did he not? He sure did. The apostles' doctrine would be what the Lord taught them, would it not be? Look in Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, notice verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Now, they don't reap, the ravens. They don't sow, and they don't reap. Well, sowing and reaping would be working, wouldn't it? For your food. Amen? And look what he said. And God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? If God feeds the ravens, would he not feed you if you don't sow nor reap? I'm just telling you what the Lord's telling them. Come down to verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither they spin not. Well, toil not, it's working, isn't it? And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and the morrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe ye, O ye a little faith, than there to have faith that God would feed them and God would clothe them. And he uses the lilies and the raven as examples. And if God does it for them, you know he's going to do it for you. O ye a little faith, have faith, God will do it for you. You don't need to work. Amen. Come on down. He said in verse 29, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure, and that treasure is in the heavens. That fadeth not where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupt you. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, folks, what did he say on do? Sell that you have. Have faith that God's going to take care of you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't be seeking clothes and something to eat. Don't worry about that or where you're going to stay. Don't worry about none of that. God's going to take care of you. Amen? That's doctrine. What did they do in Acts chapter 2? Look at it again. Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. Come over and let's look in another one. Look in chapter 5. All right, in chapter 5, notice in verse 28. Let's see, where am I at? Nah, that's not one. Verse. I'm looking for one. I got the wrong one. Can't get it there. Oh, chapter 4, no wonder. chapter 4. Notice in verse 33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he hath need." Come to verse 37. This man, a Levite, having land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, folks, they were doing what Jesus Christ had told them to do. And that was their doctrine. But tell me something. Is that sound doctrine for you today? Now, God, you mean He wouldn't want you to sell your homes and your lands and bring your money and lay it at my feet? Now, if I was like the preachers today, I'd be telling you that's sowing seed and you're going to reap more than you give. Well, let's try it. Look over with me and turn to Thessalonians. In Thessalonians. And let's see what sound doctrine this is. Now, notice in chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9. "Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he" what? I mean, that's a good welfare system there, isn't it? Well, you think about that. Well, folks, if you don't work, you don't eat. Now, I realize there's some that can't. I realize disability. I'm not talking about that. Paul's talking about, you know what would happen to you if you said, well, I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm just going to quit my job and I'm going to just serve the Lord and the Lord's going to take care of me and everything and my family. You know what would happen? You'd starve. Well, look in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy. In chapter 5. 1 Timothy. Notice what he says in verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. "But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith." Now, wait a minute. Jesus told him in Luke 12, "Oh, ye of little faith." Well, then I know that the faith in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, is not the same faith of Luke chapter 12. He said, "You denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel." Worse than somebody to believe. Well, God would have you to provide for your own. God would have you to work, to eat, to provide. He said the parents, they lay up for the children. The children don't lay up for the parents. The parents lays up for the children. And folks, Jesus told them in Matthew to lay not up treasures upon this earth. Don't you understand? There's doctrine in this Bible. But some of the doctrine that's in this Bible is not sound doctrine for you to follow today. And it's not the preaching that's being manifest that God wants to manifest if it's not sound doctrine. Let's try again. Turn with me and look in Acts chapter 2 again. In Acts chapter 2, everybody says the body of Christ began in Acts chapter 2 on a Jewish feast day with nothing but Jews and proselytes there and nothing about Jesus Christ dying for their sins when Paul says that you get into the body by the gospel. I've always wondered how in the world those in Acts 2 could be get into the body of Christ without hearing the gospel of Paul, and everybody since Paul had to get in through Paul's gospel. That don't make sense to me at all. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, now when they heard this about them crucifying the Lord of glory, about crucifying Jesus Christ their King, verse 36, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, change your mind about who you think Jesus Christ is. They thought he was an imposter. They said he was an imposter. They said that he was a deceiver. We will not have this man to reign over us. They made false accusations against him. They brought charges against him that they could not prove. They lied against him, and they took him there and tried him, and they found him guilty. Well, except Pilate. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. But they said, crucify him, crucify him. And hollered out, give us Barabbas instead of that man. And so, look what he said. Now when they heard this, they were pricked. He said, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent, change your mind about who he is, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why? When would they get remissions of sins? Now you know what remission is. You know people has a cancer and they say it's in remission, don't they? It's still there. It's just not growing. It's not doing nothing. It's put on hold. Right? And he said, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What did they have to do to get remission of sins? They had to change their mind, repent about Jesus Christ, and be baptized, and the baptism would show that they had faith in what was going to happen. In fact, look back in Luke. Hang on to Acts and come back to Luke. In Luke, in verse 29, Luke chapter 7, verse 29. Luke chapter 7. If they believed God's word, they would be baptized. If they didn't believe it, they wouldn't. If they got baptized because they believed God's word, they'd have remission of sin. They'll get their sins took away and blotted out and gone till the second coming of Christ. Look what he said in verse 29. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized. Had they believed it, they would have got baptized, would they not? And because they didn't believe it, they didn't get baptized. A good example of believing God's word is in Exodus chapter 9. Look in Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. And notice in verse 20, Exodus 9, 20. In Exodus chapter 9, verse 20, and Moses is preaching, and he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. if they didn't believe the Word of God, what did they do with their cows? They left them out there and stayed out there in the field. If they believed the Word of the Lord, then they got the cows in, put them in, and then their servants in. If they believed the Word of God, they'd get baptized. If they didn't believe the Word of God, they wouldn't get baptized. Don't you see? It's just a sign of their belief. And it was doctrine. And he said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. But hold the phone. That's good doctrine, isn't it? But is it sound doctrine for you? Do you have to get baptized in water to get the remission of sin? First of all, look with me over to Ephesians. All I'm trying to show you is that there is doctrine, but there's sound doctrine for you. And that sound doctrine is found in Romans through Philemon. And the preaching for sound doctrine, right in there. Now all of the Bible is for me, for my learning, for my admonition. This is the Acts. Israel falls, become low in mind, not my people. Paul comes on the scene and shows what's going on. And the Word that brings eternal life today, and the truth that's being given today through preaching, and the sound doctrine has to be through here and no other place. Matthew through John, the life of Christ, the minister of the circumcision, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, his life back here, he came to his own received him not. One day this body's going to be filled. We're going up to meet the Lord in the clouds and forever to be with the Lord. There's no way that those believers in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 are a part of the body of Christ in here. For Hebrews through Revelation are wrote to the Jews that were scattered abroad in that time period, and they're writing to them, and they're explaining what's going on, and it's for the Israelites in the future out there when the church is gone, for them to take them books and to preach to the Jews and to the rest of the world what has happened and what is going on and when the Lord is coming back. And it's not for you for sound doctrine today. It's not to you as a member of the body of Christ. Now all of the Bible's for me. I learn about the Lord back here. I learn what's going to happen in the future. I learn what's happened to Israel today. I learn through all of the Bible, but it's not all to me as a member of the body of Christ. And if you take these over here and these over there and apply doctrinally to you, it's not sound doctrine and it's wrong. And you can't follow the Lord unless you follow His apostle. The body of Christ is in here. Now, sound doctrine. Look in Ephesians. In Ephesians, notice in chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us, what? Accepted in the blood, in whom we have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Are your sins forgiven? Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, in verse 13, of 12, buried with Him in baptism. That's not water. That's spiritual baptism. Wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you how many trespasses? Are they all forgiven? They sure are. Are they took out of the way? Can God ever judge you for your sins? Why can God never judge you for your sins? Because He judged His Son, and He judged you at Calvary in Jesus Christ. God was judging you at Calvary. He's already judged you for your sins. He's already put you to death for your sins. He's already cursed you for your sins. He done all of that in Christ for you. There's nothing more can be done for you. Turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse, notice what he said in verse 25. Romans 11, 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, unto the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. When do they get their sins taken away? Second coming over here. So Peter's preaching back here in Acts chapter 2. He's preaching about getting baptized for the remission of sins, looking forward to that day when the Lord comes back and removes it. Look back with me in chapter 3 of Acts. In Acts chapter 3. Well, folks, I already have forgiveness. My sins is already gone. Acts chapter 3. Verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be what? Blotted out. When they get blotted out, Pete? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His prophets since the world began. All of this was prophetic back here, prophesied back here. And so you find this is prophecy over here. And all the prophets, you know what he said? He's saying there that they're going to get their sins blotted out at the second coming of Christ. You already have it. This is not sound doctrine for you. You're not waiting till the second coming of Christ to get your sins took care of. They're already gone. The baptism is not water. Look in Ephesians. This, you know, people get all uptight and all this. Well, it's a testimony. Well, why do it one time? Why don't you give your testimony every month? Why don't people go to the preacher and go up to the pastor and say, preacher, I want to give my testimony. Fill the baptistry full of water. I'd like to give my testimony today. Huh? What do you think they do? Well, now, no, you shouldn't get too carried away. It's just really symbolic one time. It's just for people to get saved. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. One Lord. One Lord. How many Lords are there? How many faiths? Is that the Baptist faith? Must be the Methodist, right? Presbyterian? Church of God? What faith is it? It's the faith. Well, where do you find the faith? Paul's epistle. It's sound doctrine. How many baptisms? Well, how many baptisms back here? In Acts chapter 2. A stumpy. John baptized ye with water, but he that cometh after me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose, is going to baptize you with what? I think we need to read the verse. Turn with me. Let's look at something. Turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. And we're just going to believe the Bible. It's just 11:30, unless somebody forgot to turn that clock back. Now look. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than thou, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now do you see in verse 11 how many baptisms there? There are three. I indeed baptize you with water. One. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Two. And with fire. There's three. Three baptisms in one verse. Now, folks, I'm telling you, I don't want them baptisms. They got baptized in water and with the Holy Spirit, right? On the day of Pentecost. They were baptized. Look in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Acts 1:4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. 4. John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They get baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now compare it. In Matthew chapter 3, John says the one that's coming after me is going to baptize you with what? With the Holy Ghost and with fire, did he not? So who does the baptizing with the Holy Spirit? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the baptizer. He does the baptizing with the Holy Spirit. So on the day of Pentecost, they get baptized, Jesus Christ, baptizes them with the Holy Spirit on this the day of Pentecost. They already been baptized. And so they've had two baptisms. But over here, this is where the baptizing of the fire comes in at the second coming of Christ. And he's going to come with flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And he's going to send forth his angels, and on the thing goes. So they get baptized with fire. The chaff is burned up. The wheat's gathered into the garner, the kingdom. He explains all of that. All I'm wanting you to see is, folks, they got baptized with water back here and with the Holy Spirit by the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about you? Is that sound doctrine? Am I to preach that you need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost? Turn back in Ephesians. How many are there? There's one baptism. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's how many baptisms in here for the body of Christ? There's one. Now tell me something. Is it water? Is it with fire? Is it with the Holy Ghost? Well, what is it? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized in the one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink in the one Spirit. You know that's a spiritual baptism, and it's by the one Spirit. The Holy Spirit does the baptism in the body of Christ in here, not Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that places you into the body of Christ. That is the baptism. And there's one baptism for the members of the body of Christ, and it's not water. And Paul goes over and over and over in Galatians and Colossians and over, speaking about baptism in Romans chapter 6. There's not a drop of water in Romans chapter 6. It's that spiritual baptism that places you into Christ and into His death. It identifies you in the death of Christ, and into Christ you are identified, and you're joined by one, and he that's joined to the Lord is one Spirit. Sound doctrine for the body of Christ. All of this, according to the truth, according to godliness, was made manifest by preaching. And the only preaching that manifests is truth like that is rightly dividing the word of truth and preaching the faith that was given to the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles. That's what will build you up and strengthen you and make you grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the church needs today. But what are they doing? They're getting lulled asleep, and they're going to end up at the judgment seat of Christ with nothing because they wasn't taught any doctrine. Bow our heads. Father, thank you once again for thy word. Thank you for each one that's come here today. We pray that you'll just be with them. We pray that they receive something that they can grow thereby. And everything is accomplished, we'll give you the praise for it. Remember our conference, Lord. We pray for the preachers. Lord, give them grace and strength. And Lord, we ask you to save lost souls. We pray that, Lord, if there's one that comes that's lost, may they get under conviction so bad that they can't do nothing else but trust you. Father, I pray that, Lord, that you'll save lost souls, edify the body of Christ, strengthen our church, draw us closer together in unity and harmony. And Lord, we just pray that we'll just do your work till you come. And Father, everything is accomplished. We'll give you the praise for it. For Christ's sake, amen. Shake hands.